Shalom, baby. Hi, this is Reverend Ken Blanchard of the Urban Shooter Podcast. Just for fun, come on and check out the original Black Man with a Gun. UrbanShooterPodcast.com.
Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Addix, and this is episode 266, My Home Was Burglarized. Just 4 weeks ago, on July 28th with episode 264, I discussed daytime burglaries and the methods used by some crews local to the San Fernando Valley here in California. Well, the reason there was no episode last week was because my home was burglarized using those exact methods. So if you haven't listened to episode 264, stop this one now, go back and listen to it, and then return to this episode. 264 includes my local police reports and description of their methods, so I won't repeat them here in this episode. Now seriously, it was just two episodes ago. So this week, we're going to look at the chain of events in my home burglary and the timelines. I'll also attempt to refrain from using profanity, but I make no promises. So, my burglary happened in the morning. I received my first alert at 8:28 a.m. This was one of the few days I was not working from home. I was going out to a client site for about half a day. I was waiting for my breakfast at a small cafe when I received a text alert from my video camera with a video attached. As I watched the video clip, I swear to you, a chill ran down my spine and I got butterflies in my stomach. The video was of a woman going up to my front door and spending way too much time there. She was wearing normal clothes, and although there was no audio, something about her body language told me things were not good. I don't know what it was, but I had an immediate negative gut reaction. She even looked right into the camera as she walked away. You know, I hoped her looking into the video camera was enough to deter her from whatever she had originally planned. I picked up my food and drove the last two blocks to the client site. I got the call from the alarm company at 8:36 a.m. as I was pulling my briefcase from the backseat of my truck. I told them to send law enforcement immediately as I had just watched a video of someone checking out my front door. The monitoring company told me that the trigger was from a motion sensor in my living room. I got back to my truck and drove straight home. I never actually set foot in the office. I met the first responding officer in my driveway. I showed him my video clips, we walked the front section of the property, and then went inside. When I opened the front door for him, the alarm triggered again, because it had reset itself, and we could see the smashed back patio door. The officer cleared the house while I turned off the alarm. And of course, the burglars were long gone. Based upon the evidence, here's what we suspect happened. The woman was the scout and checked the home to see if it was unoccupied by ringing the doorbell and knocking on the door. When it was determined that no one was home, they hopped our concrete sidewall and tried to enter through the side door and window. They cut the screen around one of the windows to get better access to it. When they couldn't force it open, they went to the back of the house and kicked in the sliding glass door from the patio. The door sensor did not trigger the alarm because they never opened the door. They just literally came through it. When one of them reached through the hole in the glass, or when they kicked through the door and the curtains flared, the motion sensor triggered the alarm. We don't know what they used to break the door. They didn't throw anything through because there was nothing inside, so we assumed that they kicked it. They snatched my wife's laptop from the dining room table, which was within arm's reach of the broken door, and then they left. That was all they got. The alarm scared them off. The alarm deterred them from entering the home and taking anything else. So why did they select our home? I really have no idea. My house is the hardest target on the block. We have proper lighting, a video camera in plain view from the street covering the front of the home, and apparent alarm sensors on all doors and windows. With all of those deterrents, why do they still try to force their way in? A senior officer who arrived on the scene told me that in his 29 years, ours was the first house that he'd seen that had a visible video camera that was hit anyway. I mean, let me rephrase that. 3 in 29 years. Plus, my wife swears that she has seen the woman caught on video to come to our door before. The neighbors reported a similar description of a car leaving around the time of the incident. They gave different make and models, but the same color and the same general shape. The video was provided to law enforcement, and they were quite pleased with it. I spent the next day and a half speaking with law enforcement, our alarm company, and repairmen. It seemed like I got a call every 15 minutes well into the night. I don't think I ate until dinner that first day. The breakfast I picked up that morning sat cold in my truck overnight. You know, next week, I can look forward to insurance company calls, forms, and claims. I also spent several hours changing passwords to our online accounts. Instead of using the password manager like I tried to get her to do, my wife kept her passwords in her browser. So we had to change passwords to sites like iTunes, Amazon, Netflix, and our healthcare provider. I also had to change my Wi-Fi passwords since they could theoretically sit in the car on the street and connect to our home network and be behind our firewall. That meant I also needed to change the password to all of our mobile devices, such as tablets and phones, plus Apple TV, and then the passwords to the apps on all those accounts as well. Resetting our technology was as much a pain as replacing the shattered door. We live in a nice, quiet suburban neighborhood. People can be found walking their dogs anytime, day or night. There are no gangbangers here. The community is comprised of retired folks and families with young children. But this is why our neighborhood is targeted. There are tons of soft targets here. People have been lulled into a sense of false security because it is very nice. The responding officers told me that the type of burglary that struck my home was at epidemic levels around the city. The reports that I had seen were just the tip of the iceberg, and there were multiple hits every day. When thinking about recent service visits, in the past 2 to 3 weeks, we've had DWP out to replace a power transformer on a pole in our backyard, we rented a bouncy house for my nephew's birthday party, and an air conditioning repairman was actually in our home to fix the AC unit in our attic. When repairmen are in the home, I always shut doors to any room that they're not needed in. Now, both the bouncy house and the AC guy have been here before. Can they be blamed? Are they part of it? I have no idea, but it is worth noting. I posted about the event to Facebook and Twitter, and I got a lot of nice responding posts and some emails. One of my favorites came from Jerry, who suggested that I get the hell out of here and move to the USA. That's great advice, Jerry, but I'm stuck in the People's Republic of California for a few more years yet. So, my home protection system did not deter this crime, this time, but it did work to end it quickly. The multiple layers of protection are what saved us from greater damage. To everyone who said I was paranoid and that our neighborhood was so nice and quiet that I was just being paranoid, well, you can lick my balls. Okay, I almost made it out of the entire episode without foul language. My first order of business is to install more video cameras to cover more angles around the house. One responding officer told me that he had 16 cameras installed on his home, both inside and outside. I've already placed the order for more, and they will be installed the day they arrive. That will do for this week, because I've quite had enough. As always, you can follow my daily tips on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, I'm Practical Def, and Facebook is Practical Defense. If you're thinking about a career in private security in California, we have a fully accredited and fully online program. We have the best material and the lowest prices. Visit our website at palladiumonlinesecurity.com for all of the details. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@palladium-education.com. You can also leave us a voicemail on the Practical Defense tip or comment line at 805-203-6586. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe.
The legal aftermath of using a gun in self-defense can be traumatic and expensive. Get help and peace of mind through the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. Network members receive much-needed financial and legal support right after a self-defense incident. They also receive education in the form of DVDs from some of the top names in the business, along with having access to a nationwide pool of attorneys. Learn about membership at www.armedcitizensnetwork.org.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
Practical Defense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, tips, comments, or topic suggestions, send us an email at podcast@palladium-education.com. That's podcast@palladium-education.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 805-203-6586. I look forward to hearing from you. The Practical Defense Podcast and theme music are copyright Palladium Education Incorporated.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones, on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under Sources.